You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Importance of the Heart, is the first message in the series Heart Issues, based on the book of Jonah, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning. I need you to stand with me. We're going to read two pieces of scripture to start our time together. We're going to read from Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus chapter 15, verses 17 through 20 says this. Jesus says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defiles a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Jonah chapter 1 says this, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Our Father in heaven, good morning, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we've gathered in this house this morning to worship God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the prophets, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We gather here, Lord, to worship you this morning with our minds and with our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit today, that God, you would minister to us today, that you would speak into our hearts today, individually. Every person that's here, God, would you speak into their lives and collectively as a church. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We've come, Lord, this morning to learn from you. So be our teacher, we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. Now, I want to say two things. Number one, Pastor Vince is in the Philippines, so pray for him. He left this week. His mom, his health is very bad. Pastor Vince's mom is 94 years old, and you guys were here last Sunday, right? He was so jazzed about his trip to Israel, and then he got that phone call, and then he had to hop on an airplane. So we want to lift up Pastor Vince and just pray for him, pray for his mom, and hopefully he'll be back the next few weeks. Now, I was told this morning, by the way, that there's somebody's birthdays today. Clancy, you are 92 today. Is that right? Happy birthday, Clancy. Clancy's a very special brother. Clancy had an all-paid trip to Europe with the United States government in World War II, and he rode on a quad 50 half-track with four 50 caliber machine guns, and he hung out with General Patton all through World War II. You are a very special person to us, Clancy, and happy birthday from your church family. You are very special. Happy birthday to Clancy. He's got great stories, guys, if you ever wanted to. And what a neat heart he has. Just God has transformed his heart. He's seen some bad stuff. Can you imagine? Infantrymen in World War II. God's done a beautiful work in Clancy, isn't it? Happy birthday, brother. Have you guys ever seen this picture? This is a picture of two young people in love. They were Biola students at the time. I'm 24 and Cinda's 23. And that was one of the best days of my life. That was December the 16th, 1989. We met at Biola and I fell in love with her. And I think you've probably heard the story. It took me 8 months to convince her to date me. But when I wore her out, she finally admitted to, okay, I'll go out with you. And on May the 17th, I proposed to her. Now, we got married 6 months before I graduated college. at Biola. And one of the reasons for that was that about two weeks before I proposed to her, her father had a second heart attack. And it was a very devastating heart attack. He was 51 years of age. And when I proposed to her, I figured I want her dad to walk her down the aisle. I wanted her dad to be there. And so we decided to get married 6 months before I even graduated college. Her father is an interesting individual. He had his first heart attack at the age of 45. 45 years old, he had a heart attack. And after his heart attack, they gave him quadruple bypass heart surgery. And that worked until he was 51. 6 years later, he had a massive heart attack. And in the massive heart attack one, they told him that there was so much damage to his heart that he needed a heart transplant or he was going to die. And in the midst of all that, we're going to get married, right? And so, sure enough, he walked her down the aisle, and it was a beautiful day. And he was put on a heart transplant list. And a couple years later, he was 91, August of 91, they had a beeper, and he was to go get a heart transplant. He was the 28th person that Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach gave heart transplants that year. Out of 39, he was number 28. And he went in and had a heart transplant. Now, they told him that when we give you this heart transplant, we believe that this is going to add to you 10 to 12 years more of life. Would you do it? Would you do that? Hey, you're going to die, but if you let us give you a heart transplant, we'll give you another 10 to 12 years. He said, sign me up, right? And he got to see all our grandkids and everything be born. When they took his heart out of him, they said it was so swollen and barely running, it was the size of a cow's heart, and it was just quivering. It wasn't even pulsing, it was just quivering. And very crazy how they took the heart out of him and then waited for the person who had passed away to have that heart brought in to put in. You would have thought they would have done it quickly or something. So he was running for a while with no heart at all. Can you imagine? And he's been living 24 plus years. He's actually the oldest living heart transplant in America today. Hogue Hospital in 2012 was celebrating, by the way, the 39 people, right? 38 of them have all passed away. Every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, every Easter, we just sit there and say, thank God for he's alive today. It's a huge gift. And they just say it was a perfect match. Everything worked well and everything worked that he is just surviving. And even when he does checkups, they say the best thing in his body that's still running well is his heart. Hogue Hospital, he's the poster child for Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach. And a few years ago, they found the widow of the lady whose husband died to give my father-in-law a new heart. And the Orange County Register found out about this story and contacted this lady. And she lives in Arizona, and Hogue actually paid to bring her out. And Hogue was doing kind of a big fundraiser for their heart area there. And they brought Dennis there. There was Channel 4 News and Channel 7 News. She said, when this reporter said, you know that your husband, the person that your husband's heart is in, is still alive. And the lady said, you know, I remember every night, you know, hugging my husband and going to bed, hearing his heartbeat. And she said, I would love to hear my husband's heartbeat again. And Hogue Hospital flew her out and her family. And in 2012, this is her hearing her husband's heart beating inside my father-in-law. How's that for a story? Have you ever heard the song by, there was an old guy in the 80s named Randy Stonehill, and he wrote a song, and it went, I'm going to celebrate this heartbeat, because it just might be my last. Every day is a gift from the Lord on high, and they all go by so fast. Isn't that true? Can we agree this morning that the heart is a critical organ in the human body? Without the heart, you people aren't living. Do we all agree on that this morning? Would you all agree with me that the biologically, the heart is a critical component. Without it, you don't have life. Think about it. You can live with one lung. You can live without your tonsils. You can live with one kidney or one appendix. But if you take out the heart, you're done, right? The heart is critical for life. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen to me this morning. Spiritually speaking, your heart is a critical component in your spiritual health and well-being. Spiritually speaking, your heart is critical. For the month of May, we're going to head into the book of the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the book of Jonah, and we're going to study the life of a stubborn prophet. And it's really fun. There's only four chapters in Jonah. We're going to go through it this week. This is an intro session for us. So we begin this process. And when you read the book of Jonah, you're going to see the heart of God. And you'll see the heart of God in the book, dealing with the heart of a stubborn prophet named Jonah. And all through this book, you'll see God doing heart surgery on Jonah, dealing with Jonah's heart, and God changing and molding Jonah's heart, healing, I would say, Jonah's heart. When you study the Bible, so as a professor at Biola, when I was teaching there, I gave one session. It was part of the spiritual formation component of the class I taught, and we talked about the human heart. We talked about the spiritual heart. And my students love this section that I'm about to give you today. When you open the Bible and you begin to study the topic of what God has to say about our hearts, it's a fascinating topic, friends. It's a fascinating topic. How many of you in here can think of a non-Christian song with the word heart in it? When you think of one, just raise your hand. How many of you can think of a non-Christian song that has the word heart in it? I left my in San... Everybody now. In San Francisco, right? Or Elton John, don't go breaking my heart. What? My achy, breaky heart, right? Heartbreaker, heartbreaker, my heart and soul. He would loosen the news, Pat Benatar, best music in the 80s, very well. Got any more? I'm gonna harden my heart. I'm gonna swallow my tears, right? I'm gonna turn and leave you here. Elvis Presley, Heartbreak Hotel, right? A heart of stone. What does society say about the human heart? Just listen to the songs we sing. What does society, when society views the heart, the non-spiritual component within us, or the non-biological component within us, when we look at our spiritual hearts, what does society say about our hearts, right? Doesn't it say that it's a place of feelings, right? The heart is a place of emotion, right? My heart is a place of love. My heart is a place of brokenness. According to society, the world we live in, even we recognize a spiritual component within us, and we sing about it all the time in our songs, and it's always related to emotions and love. Am I right or am I right? Right. What does God say about the heart? What does God say about the heart? Did you know that the word heart appears 858 times in my Bible, just in the Old Testament alone, and another 148 times in the New Testament, God speaks on the heart. That's 1,006 times in my Bible the word heart is mentioned. Do you get that? Does the scriptures agree with society that the heart is a place of love and emotions? Well, Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your, right? So I guess he would agree there, right? How about Isaiah 65:14? Says, behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart. That's an emotional. Isn't glad an emotion, right? But you will cry out with a heavy heart. That's another flip side of an emotion. That's sadness. And you will wail with a broken spirit. Hey guys, I want you to take notes this morning. Because, and right there in your notes, get out of, there's a pen, there's some notes right there. I want you to take notes this morning because we're going to talk about the human heart, and I want you just to jot down what God says about your heart and my heart. Check this out. According to the scriptures, what is the heart? The heart is the place where we experience emotion. That's true. Write that down. The heart is the place we experience emotion. So the world is right, right? But hear me. The Bible speaks so much more about our hearts than just emotions. Write this down. The Bible also says that our heart is a place of intellectual activity. It's a place of intellectual thought. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's a place of thought. Our hearts is not just emotions, it's a place of intellectual activity. But it's more than that. The heart is a place in us. We experience emotions. It's a place of intellectual activity. But it's a place of human volition or will or choice. We choose from the heart. The heart is a place where we will, where we think, where we choose from. The heart is a place where we have desires. Listen to this, Psalm 21. O Lord, in your strength, the king will be glad. And in your salvation, how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desires. Desires. It's a place of human will, of human choice. Jesus. So, okay, his disciples didn't wash their hands. And these people got mad at him. Well, you guys are breaking the law. And Jesus is like, you guys are knuckleheads. It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you before God. It's what comes out of your mouth, right? Jesus says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Thoughts comes from the heart. Murder comes from the heart. Adultery comes from the heart. Sexual immorality comes from a person's heart. Theft, false testimony, lying comes from the heart. Slander, ripping on someone else, comes from the heart. Jesus says, these are the things that defile a man before God, not washing your hands before you eat. So get this. What does the Bible say about your heart and mind? It's a place of emotion. It's a place of intellectual activity. It's a place of will or volition. It's a place inside of us where we choose from. Write this down. The heart is the place of knowing, willing, and feeling in holistic unity. That's your heart, right? The heart is the center, people, of our personality. Our true identity is revealed in our hearts. The heart is who we are, people, at our deepest, most private level. Who am I in my heart, right? One of my favorite professors at Talbot Seminary named Dr. Soce, who just passed away, gave this quote on the heart, and it's one of my favorites. He says, our whole life stems from our heart. Quote, our whole life stems from our heart, our thoughts, our motivations, the words that we speak, our feelings, our attitudes, and all of our actions originate from our heart. Does that make sense to you? Are you with me this morning? Check this out. Write this down. The heart, if you guys remember, like, back in the 60s, there was a place called Mission Control Center. Mission Control Center was a place that had all the people around as we were shooting rockets up to go to the moon. Your heart is the Mission Control Center of your life. It directs your life. Your heart directs your life. It's the Mission Control Center of your life. But catch this. The Bible says that we are the director of our hearts. So we can direct the director, so to speak. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, the Bible says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Boy, there's a good verse to memorize. Proverbs 3:3 says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Listen to this. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So, another one, Proverbs 4:4. Then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Listen, write this down. We have a responsibility to direct our heart, which is our director. And I remember my students would look at me and they go, what? So it's the mission control center of our life, and it directs us, but we have a responsibility to direct the thing that directs us. I'm like, yes. That's what the Bible says. Everything you have flows from your life, but your responsibility is to guard your heart and direct the director of your life. Stir that in for a moment, friends. Meditate on that for a little bit. According to the Bible, the heart somewhere inside of you is the place where we think and will and feel. It's the center of our personality. Our true identity is revealed in the heart. The heart is who we are at our deepest, most private level. The heart is the mission control center of our life. It directs our life. But you can direct it. You can direct the director. And you have a responsibility to do so. Does this make sense? Because we are what our heart is. The Bible teaches that God always looks at the heart to see who we really are. Let me say that again. Because we are what our heart is. The Bible teaches that God always looks at the heart to see what we are really like. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Another wonderful passage. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The place where we think, where we will, where we feel, the heart. The center of our personality, our heart. The place of who we really are at our deepest, most private level, the heart. The mission control center of your life and my life, the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. So what does God see when he sees your heart today? Is that a naked, revealing thought? Do you know you can't hide from him? You can't fake him out? You can't woo away him? He sees you. God sees you. And he doesn't see your he sees your heart. God sees you with his 20/20 deity vision and just sees you naked and bare before him. How does that make you feel? Pretty open, huh? If there's one person you can be authentic with, it's God, because he knows everything anyway, right? Great verse in the Bible. I just came back from Israel, and when we were there, we were walking through the life of Jesus, and we studied the whole ministry of Jesus, and there's a really great passage in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in John chapter 2, when Jesus just says, man, I never really gave myself. Listen to this. John 2:23 and 24 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at Passover, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he was doing. But listen to this. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. I've always looked at that verse like, he knew all men. What does Jesus know about all men? What does Jesus know about all mankind? He knows the heart. And what does he know about our fallen heart? After the second heart attack, He had, I mean, you would think that you had a heart attack and you get quadruple bypass, you'd be set. Wouldn't you think so? 45, heart attack, quadruple bypass, I'm set. 51, he has a massive heart attack. They x-ray him, they check him out, they're looking at all this, and they said, Dennis, you have massive damage in your heart and you're going to die without a heart transplant. They were able to look at his heart, doctors today, were able to look at his heart and give a diagnosis of his heart. When God today x-rays your heart and gives you a diagnosis of your heart, what do you think God sees in the fallen human heart? Do you think he sees good things or bad? Write this down. God says that humanity's fallen heart is bent toward evil. How's that? Genesis 6:5 says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. That's a pretty basic thing. We're bent, we lean toward evil. You guys, I've had great ministry with the Irvine Police Department this whole week, and I was hanging out with a detective of ours, and this detective is doing crimes that people commit against children. Chaplain, he says, I'm married, my wife and I are married, we're thinking of having kids. He says, but I don't even know if I want to have kids. He goes, when I see what people do to children, what's wrong with us, is his words. What's wrong with us, with human beings? He goes, I don't even know if I want to bring a kid into this world. The evil that's in this world, right? What's wrong with us? Have you ever been in a philosophical conversation with somebody and they said, well, what is evil anyway? For you philosophy majors, write this down and have fun with this one. Because here's the best biblical definition of evil I've ever heard. Write this down. Have fun with this one in your growth groups this week. Evil is that which is wrong in relation to God and the effects which that wrong has on human life. That is a great definition of evil. Evil is that which is wrong in relation to God and the effects which that wrong has on human life. The fallen heart, people, it's bent, it's twisted toward evil and away from God. The Bible says the fallen heart is swollen with pride. Write that down. Proverbs 16:5. The fallen human heart is prone to deceit, deceitfulness. We're prone for deceitfulness. Jeremiah 17:9, God says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? God says this. You ever seen the little videos of the little kid with the chocolate all over his face? And his mommy's saying, did you eat that cookie? And what's the little boy saying? No, mommy, I didn't eat that cookie. Chocolate all over his face, right? Did you eat that? No, mommy. And you watch the videos, right? Are they cute? Cute little guy's trying to deceive his mom at the age of 2 and 3 years old, right? Lying to his mother. Lying to his mother. Didn't have to teach him how to lie. He just naturally happens to us, doesn't it? God says that our heart is deceitfully wicked. It's prone to deceit. It's prone to lies. Jesus knew what was in the heart of all men. He says, yeah. Have you ever lied to God? Anyone? Have you ever lied to someone else? Have you ever lied to yourself? Think about that. Think about that. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. First of all, can you lie to God? That's kind of dumb, right? Because he knows everything anyway, but we lie to him anyway, right? We lie to other people. Have you ever lied to yourself? This is the one that scares me more than anything else for me. You see, how many people in here have ever been tempted? Raise your hand. We've all been tempted, right? How many of you have ever deceived yourself? That one's tricky. Because if I'm deceiving myself, then I don't know what I'm doing to me, right? That's the one that scares me the most. Frankie, is your heart deceiving you? And that's where you just need God. Check this out. Have you ever deceived yourself? Who I hang out with doesn't affect me. Has you ever told yourself that? 1 Corinthians 15:13 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you think that you can hang out with whoever you want to and it doesn't affect you, you're living a deceived life. You've deceived yourself. I can have a victorious Christian life of compromise. One foot in the world and one foot with God. Have you ever thought about that? Do you live in that today? I can live both. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows of his own flesh will reap from that flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You're deceiving yourself. Your heart is deceiving yourself if you think you can live with both. Have you ever deceived yourself before? The heart is messed up, people. It's sick. It has a virus in it. It's fallen. God says we have a fallen heart. It's bent toward evil. It's swollen with pride. It's prone to deceit. God says that humanity's fallen heart is hardened. Write that down. It's hardened. Your heart's hardened to some degree. It's stubborn. Stubborn. Are you a stubborn person? Where does that come from? It comes from your heart. I like this one. God says that our hearts are foolishness. Foolishness. He looks at the heart, just like that little kid. No, mommy, I didn't eat that. Foolishness, right? God looks at all of us that way. And write this one down. Your heart turns away from God. Anyone? I just read a list of what God says the heart is. He just gave an x-ray of the heart. Did any of you see a little of that list in your life story? Is your life story in any of that list? Anyone? Mine? Well, welcome to fallen humanity. When the Bible speaks to our hearts, there's a plethora of issues, right? Okay, now, all that we've studied, shall we read Jonah? All that we've studied, shall we read Jonah? Jonah chapter 1, Old Testament. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. He paid the fare. He went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. For you theologians this morning, what was it inside of Jonah that caused him to turn away from the command of the Lord and to think that he can flee from God? What was it inside of him that had him do that? What was it? It was his heart that did that. His heart. As we read the book of Jonah, we're going to get to see a stubborn man dealing with God. And we're going to get to see a great heart surgeon working on Jonah's heart through 4 chapters. And God works in his heart through reason. God will deal with his heart through circumstances. Has anyone ever been eaten before? Right? That'll get your attention, won't it? Read Jonah chapter 1 this week, because we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a blast. And let me say this. We've got 5 more weeks that we're going to be gathering and having what we call sermon-based growth groups. We have 16 growth groups meeting right now in the church. And these people take their notes. They go to their growth group this week, and they just whip out their notes, and they start talking about the sermon. And they start sharing their lives, okay? I want to tell you, if you aren't in a growth group this week, then come and join me on Friday nights, because there is great growth groups on Friday nights, and I'm going to be joining those groups for the next 5 weeks. If you're here today and you'd love to discuss this sermon and you're not in a growth group, come to the Friday night here at the church at 6:30. We have dinner, and we just will talk about this, and we'll share our lives. And you can come and tell me my sermon stunk. I don't care. I just love to connect with you, and let's share life together, because we're going to do that. Now, when we go through this book, I've got a secret to tell you. There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. Don't tell anybody. But when you read Jonah, you're going to see yourself in it just a little bit, because he's in you. We'll talk about that in growth groups as we sharpen each other. Let me close with some good news. You ready? God is in the heart transplant business. All religions work their way toward God through moral effort, trying to get God to accept them and bring them in, right? Christianity is God in his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you. He did all the work on the cross, right? You didn't do the work. He did the work. And all you do is accept what he's done for you. When God, through Christ, died on the cross for your sins, he washed you clean. And when he washed you clean, God was able to dwell within sight of you. Now listen to this. 600 years before Jesus was born, God began whispering to humanity that he's going to change their hearts. Here's some prophecy for you in closing. Jeremiah 32, 39 and 40. God says, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them." What did we just do this morning? We took communion. Jesus said, "My blood is the new covenant." 500, 600 years for Jesus in Jeremiah, God says, "I will make a new covenant with humanity. With them, I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me." A new covenant God has. Listen to Ezekiel, beautiful verse. God says, "I will give them an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." Hey guys, for you and I, the day that we said yes to Jesus, God did major heart surgery on us. He says, "I will give you a new spirit." The day that you said yes to Jesus, you were washed clean of all your sin. And it says at that time, the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of you. "I will give you a new spirit." Do you know that the Holy Spirit is inside of you if you're here today and you've accepted Christ? The Holy Spirit's main job is to do heart surgery. He is the one changing your heart right now. Jesus says you will be born again. Born again. Born anew, born from above, that the Spirit of God comes inside of us. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, it's a whole new relationship. You know, I promise you this. Jonah never called God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Father. I promise you, Jonah never said that. But because of the new relationship you have now with God through Jesus Christ, listen to this verse in Galatians in closing. Because you are sons, the Bible says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God has done a heart transformation in your life, and He's still doing that. When the Spirit of the Lord comes inside of you, you have the right to call God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Dad, Abba, Daddy, Father. Our whole relationship is changed because of what Jesus has done for us. The cry inside of you and I when we can cry out to God and say, Father, is because of God's Spirit dwelling in you and me. Isn't that good news? I can't imagine cracking open someone's chest, cutting, moving away ribs, taking out a heart, and then he's running on a machine from a corpse. This guy died of a motorcycle. Watch out for motorcycles. They took out his heart, and then they stick it in here, and they hook it all up, and it's been working for 24 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, beating. Is that amazing? Think about your heart and all that God says about what your heart is, and God cracking open your heart through the cross of Christ, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the hands of the Holy Spirit just begins molding and shaping your heart to be more in tune with who God is, changing your heart here today on this earth. Think about that. That's awesome. Am I right? Father in heaven, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. Lord, it's May. It's May the 1st today. We're 5 months into this year. And Jesus, we as a church have traveled so far. And Lord, we find ourselves today at a very interesting place where we're beginning to study what you say is in our hearts. You've talked about what our heart is. You've talked about it being so much within us and our whole being is wrapped in our heart. And yet, God, you've given a diagnosis of our heart and says we've got issues. We all have heart issues. Lord, we pray today that you would just do a great work within our hearts. God, we have nothing to hide this morning. We're not fighting you. We're not pushing you away. We're not stupid. We're not running from you like Jonah. Where do we run from God? He's just not even thinking, is he, Lord? Well, help us to understand him next week, right, Jesus? But Lord, we today, we just pray, Lord, that you would just soften our hearts. Give us a new heart. Do heart surgery on us this morning. Mold us this morning. Shape us this morning. Give us clean hands, O God. And our prayer today is give us pure hearts for your glory and for our own health. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing this, okay? In response to God. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit, come make us humble. Turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, make us
Close your eyes. When God sees your heart, what does He see this morning? Is there anything in your life that you just need to confess before the Lord, between you and Him right now? Inside of you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life and saying, this is not right, what are you going to do about it? You going to hold on to it? You going to argue with God? You going to push back? Or will you trust Him? If this week your hearts are dirty, confess your sins before the Lord this morning. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Don't fight God. His desire for your life is to be good, not evil. Thank you, Lord, for the washing of your word this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that dripped from the cross for us. Thank you for the washing away of our sins. Thank you for a purity that comes in Christ, a holiness that comes from Christ, a righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we declare that righteousness upon our lives this morning. The great power of the blood of Jesus upon us this morning. Thank you for the new covenant that you've given us through Christ this morning. We receive, God, your forgiveness this morning. We receive the newness of life this morning. Your purity this morning. We say this in the mighty name of nobody could do this for us except the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.